Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, as I get older, it seems like the years just keep getting shorter and shorter. I'm only in my mid-30s. I wonder what it's going to be like when I'm twice my age. The years just keep getting shorter and shorter. And you know what happened in this past year? It really begins to feel like a year. I started to think about all the things that we've done as a congregation and just what we've been able to accomplish in this last year. And just thinking about every single day, it begins to fill in and feel more like a year has happened. For some reason, a year holds special significance for us as well. A year after my mother passed away, I became very irritable. And not really knowing why. It didn't really click in my head until I looked at the date and realized that we were coming up on a year of my mother's passing. And then I became aware of this particular phenomenon that we somehow put certain significance on the date of a calendar. And I think we have this innate need to recognize certain events on a calendar, both good and bad. Even though it's my mother's death, but that's why we remember birthdays. That's why we remember anniversaries and things of that nature. Good and bad things occur on particular days. That said, it's been a year since my family and I have been here. It has been a year as of a few weeks ago, but then this Sunday, the second Sunday of January, marks a year that I've been preaching here for this congregation. And that first Sunday we were here, the elders were like, "No, you need to rest. You need to come. You know, you'll be fine. We'll have that first Sunday covered." And I'm grateful for that. You know, I was prepared to preach. I was, but I was grateful for that reprieve. For those of you who helped move us in, you might recall how cold and how rainy it was. It was just an icky day. And much like it was yesterday, my wife noted that it was a year ago today, a few days ago, last few weeks ago, on January 3rd, when we moved in. It was an icky, rainy day as well. We backed the moving truck into the driveway and got as close to the garage as we could and just unloaded everything that way, so the rain really didn't affect us too much, but it was still a rainy, icky day. So, it was the second Sunday of that year, the anniversary that I began preaching in this pulpit. In this lesson, what I want to do is look at where we've been in the past year and where we're going. Not necessarily, you know, I can't predict the future. There may be some things that work out that I talk about here, some things that won't. And we might think of some other things later on in the year that we might want to do. But this is what I've got in my head, and I've talked with a few things about these elders on these things. So I think that this will help us. I think this lesson will encourage us to look forward as we continue in this walk. Where we've been. So the first point, where we've been. The second point, where we're going. And then we've got a third point, Christ's mission and our mission. Because the first two points don't bring in a lot of Bible, but the last point, I really want to focus on what the Bible has to say about what our mission should be. So I've got it broken down into three sections of things that we've done and things where we're going. The first one is preaching and teaching. The second one is outreach and evangelism. And then the third one is other events that we've done that don't quite fit into either of those. So for preaching and teaching, if you remember, and I just want to try to remember and bring your memory back, those of you who are here, to what we've talked about, and try to inform those who weren't here about some of the things that we've done. On Sunday mornings, we started looking at a series of lessons that I had. I got a book a while back that I thought would be great lessons to draw from for the first few Sundays in a new work. And so the book is called Adventuring in Faith by Brother Earl Irvin West, and it's a great series of lessons, about 21 lessons, that I thought would be great. It covers salvation, worship, and so many other topics that we had. There were a few that I completely reworked because I didn't quite fit with my style and my way of thinking. But I think for a lot of them, we drew a lot, but I also brought in my own illustrations and things of that nature. Then we moved on to the Sermon on the Mount. We spent quite a few months on the Sermon on the Mount. And that's a great series of lessons that covers such foundational aspects of Christian living. And then we moved on to the Christian graces, and we finished that up last week. The purpose was to make our call and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. You're probably tired of hearing that phrase because I've said it so much, because that was the motivation for looking at that, those particular characteristics. I enjoyed talking about love as our first Sunday together in the new year, because love really should be our motivation for all that we do. It seemed like a logical progression to talk about the Christian graces because of the things that we talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. It helped us to recognize where we were going and the path that we need to follow in Matthew chapter 7, the narrow road that we need to go on, and then the fact that an entrance will be supplied, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. So it seemed to work together very well to talk about that. On Sunday evenings, we jumped around a little bit, but by way of series, we looked at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We looked at the book of Titus. And then we also had a series on evangelistic Bible study, which we'll talk more about later, because that fits under the topic of evangelism and outreach. But then we moved on to looking at the book of Leviticus. That is not an easy book to cover, but I think it's quite rewarding looking at how the Old Testament law and how it is fulfilled in Christ. We looked at, we've so far covered the first 9 chapters. Tonight we'll be looking at chapter 10 of Leviticus. And, you know, it's wonderful to show just how all these Old Testament things work together in the New Testament system, and how they're all fulfilled in our Lord in Christ, and what our obligations are concerning that as well. For our Sunday morning Bible class, if you remember, we were looking at the Bible chronologically. Now, that also was not an easy study. We've ended for now. We haven't finished it, but we ended with the reign of Solomon, at least for the time being. But it was a great study. And I began to go back in my spare time to redo some of Genesis and a little bit of Exodus and a little bit, because I didn't go into a whole lot of detail like I did later on. If you're interested in the timelines I've created for Genesis and Exodus, we probably won't cover it in class, but if you're interested in those, I could probably print those out for you. And studying for the timeline, you know, I kind of want to work on this a little bit as we go, looking at the kings. You know, it seems like it would be easy, because you're looking at the length of the reign. They give you the length of the reign. They give you when a particular king becomes king compared to the other king and the other kingdom. And you think it would be easy, but it's not. In fact, it's so hard, there's even a book called The Mysterious Number of the Hebrew Kings. Mysterious Numbers of the Hebrew Kings. It's that detailed. And so I'm kind of glad I'm having this break in that particular study so I can look at that more in depth. And I thank the elders for that. Then we have been looking at the Gospel of Mark. And we just finished up chapter 2 today. We started chapter 3. And that's been a great study, too, looking at the life of our Lord. On Wednesday nights, if you remember all the way back, Wednesday night, we finished up the book of Acts. And then Sam, he started looking at Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, and then he moved on to 1 Peter, and he just finished 1 Peter chapter 3 the last time he talked. here this morning because she's not feeling well, but she, for the ladies Bible class, she was teaching on Esther. And I'm, you know, not in there, so I'm not sure all the things that they were teaching on, but I'm sure you ladies who were in there know more about what that is. And now Victoria, after she finished, was facilitating teaching the Digging Deep Bible class or Bible study by Cindy Colley, and talking about the glory of God. And from what I understand, the ladies seem to be really enjoying that lesson. So I appreciate all the feedback that I'm getting for that. I'm sure Victoria's got some on that about how wonderful that study is. And if you're a lady who can make it to that study at 10 o'clock on Thursday, every other Thursday, please go to that because I've heard nothing but great things about that. All right, so let's look at outreach and evangelism, things that we've done this year. Again, I hope this is encouraging for us all. The elders, when I first got here, have made it a point to focus on more on local evangelism in this past year. And tallying it up, I don't know if I mentioned it from the pulpit before or not. I know I had some private conversations, but we've seen this year 12 baptisms. And for a small church like this, that's great. That is phenomenal. And they've just been fantastic. And this includes four who are shut-ins in nursing homes right now. And we're so thankful for each and every soul that has come to know God. For three of those four in the nursing homes, to do large part in our work that we've had at Oak Grove. We've had a presence at Oak Grove Nursing Home for some time. We've also had a presence at the Fair Haven Rest Home for some time as well. And so we've had singing and Bible studies at these places, and they've come to us and asked us for, about what we need to do to be saved and about baptism. That's fantastic as well. But I don't want us to think that we should rest on our laurels. 12 baptisms is great. What are we going to do this year? What are we going to do this year? And we'll talk more about that in our next point. We've also had a presence at our local festivals, at Mayfest and Fall Festival. And I think those have been great endeavors. We purchased Bibles to hand out to people, and the book Churches in the Shape of Scripture to help people know about the Lord's church. And we've got copies out there too. We've got several more, so don't think that three out there that we have is all that we have. If you want a copy and don't have one already, I encourage you to get it. It's a great book, easy read, about the Lord's church. Many of us have been greatly encouraged by the attitude that people have about the gospel. At the same time, we've also purchased space on a billboard for several months, getting the name of the church out there. At Mayfest, we had people ask us questions about the Bible, and we've been answering them in the local paper, in the Rutherford Weekly, every other week, or twice a month at least. And I encourage you to look at that if you have that chance. We used to only be doing that for once a month. But because of the volume of the questions, we had 19, 20 questions, we have increased it twice a month so that we could get to all of them and have that the word out there. And that's a fantastic thing as well. We've also been going over them on Wednesday nights, whenever Sam is out of town or he's sick, he's not able to be here and teach the class, so we can go real over those stuff. We also had those lessons on Sunday nights for a while on studying with people about the gospel. We're continuing to purchase those booklets out there, the Back of the Bible booklets that you see back there in the foyer, the green, the blue, and the red booklets. So if you have someone that you want to share the gospel with, I encourage you to get those and look it over. Maybe go back on the website and listen to those lessons that talk about those things so that you can be prepared for having a Bible study with someone like that, or at least better prepared. Now, I don't know how everyone is using them all, but they seem to be flying off that table back there, and that's a beautiful thing, too. I like to have the problem of, man, we got to get more of those. so that's a great thing. I pray that they're all being used to study the Bible with someone and to help them come to the knowledge of the truth. Ongoing outreach that seems to be doing much good includes a bear building that the ladies have done and continue to do and have been doing long before I got here, but I've been able to see a lot of that, and it's a fantastic thing for our ladies and our people to do. Also the backpack program. If you're not familiar with these things, many of the ladies here, they build these plush teddy bears to give to first responders to help them calm children down during tragic events. And also for Christmas, a lot of the get given to a lot of the people in nursing homes. And they have our contact info on the back, which is a good thing. Many have also gone out, the backpack program is where we donate food for children who need it when school is not in session. When school is not in session, a lot of these kids, they just don't have food. They don't have access to food. And so we've been helping them in that area as well. Lynn Peckman had mentioned that one of the workers there mentioned that we are one of the few places, one of the few churches that give consistently to that work. That's saying something. Can you imagine how good that puts our name out there, how good a reputation our congregation has as a result of that endeavor? Not just to the children who see our name on the label, but to that worker at school that notices these things. We've also revamped the church's website and made a Facebook page. Now, I'll be honest, I don't use the Facebook page very often, but as of Friday, we've had 365 people like the page, and I haven't done anything with it, so I don't know how people are finding it. But I put up a couple of pictures, but beyond that, it's an amazing thing for people to do that. So that's something I'd like to work on this year, but we'll talk about it at the next point. We try to make the website more up to date with current church websites. Now I'm no expert on that kind of thing, so I did my best. Hopefully it's okay. We'll see. You see, for many people these days, their first impression of a particular place, their first impression that they'll have of the church is from their website. And so if our website looks like it came out of the 90s with the gifts swirling around if it looks like that, then, people are going to think, are they, they're out of touch. What's going on here? But if it looks more up to date, people will think, okay, this looks more normal, and this is a place that we might be able to go to. So people do have that first impression, right or wrong, and that's just how it happens sometimes. The Facebook page, again, is also helpful to get in contact with people, because how many people are on Facebook these days? A whole lot of people. And so that's good for getting the name of the church out there. There's not a whole lot in the way of other events that we've done, but there have been some. In March, and I'm sure I'm going to leave something off, and I apologize if I have, if you've been involved in something like that. But in March, we took three of our teams to the SOAR Youth Rally near Augusta, Georgia, and I think they really enjoyed that. In June, we also went to Palmetto Bible Camp, second week, for the team, and they seemed to really have a good time. And I personally was asked to teach. For the next section, we talked about some of the things we've done this year. And okay, I know all that we've done this year. Can we get on? Can we move on with it? Well, this next one, where are we going? And that's a good question. I want to have these thoughts to share with you so that you can get your mind working on some of these things too, and maybe you can see where On Sunday mornings, I intend to do something a little bit different, Sunday morning sermons, than the series that we have been doing. And mainly that's so that we can get a balanced approach on different things. Because series on certain things, and that's fantastic. We do need series sometimes, but I'm going to try to do something a little bit different on that. Once a month, for a little while anyway, I want to focus on the Christian home in some way. We have a lot of especially young Christian families here, and while it's beneficial for us all, it's certainly beneficial for them as well. Other lessons, I want to look at moral and doctrinal matters, which again seem very vague, but I haven't, because there's a whole year worth of sermons to look at. So I just want to do that kind of thing as well. On Sunday evenings, I'd like to continue looking at Leviticus, because I think, it's just been a fantastic study so far, and I keep going back, as I'm studying Leviticus, I keep going back to the book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews in the New Testament shows just how much better the Christian system is over the old Jewish system. And if we look at Hebrews, we can make those connections even better. And I just have been neglecting Hebrews in the sermons because I just don't have the time. So I think it would be great to look at that and connect Leviticus and Hebrews together and to show just how great our system is, how great the Christian system is over any others. In fact, that's the whole theme of the book of Hebrews. Better. The Christian system is better. Christ is better. Everything about Christianity is better than that which came before. All right. For Sunday morning class, we'll continue with Mark. We just finished chapter 2, started chapter 3. So we'll continue with Mark, and hopefully we'll finish this year. And then we'll be able to improve. We'll like to continue with the chronology class. And we can move on to that and look at the divided kingdom, because that, again, is just rich with information that is often not studied that often or that frequently. So I'd like to look at that as well. On Wednesday evening, Sam will no doubt finish 1 Peter and then move on to 2 Peter. And I think I heard him say once, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, that once he finishes with that, he's looking into Jeremiah and Lamentations and looking at those particular prophets of the Old Testament. And he's perhaps one of my favorite prophets. Of course, I might say that about all of them. But he's one of my favorite prophets of the Old Testament, so I'm looking forward to that study. Victoria, she'll continue. My wife will continue facilitating the ladies' Bible class, at least for the foreseeable future. Don't know what's going to happen after they finish with the ED thing. Perhaps the ladies will want to continue, do the next one, or do something else. So we'll see how that works out. But the ladies do seem to enjoy that. So if you can make it to that, I encourage you to do so. And ask Victoria about that as well, because there's some materials you might need if you want to participate in that. Outreach and evangelism. As stated, with our dozen baptisms, there is no reason, there's no time to rest on our laurels, to think, oh yeah, we've done it. No, because there's so many souls out there that need to hear the gospel. There's so many souls that are hungry for it, and we need to keep going out into the world to do that. One of the souls that were baptized was one of our teens. And half of the people, about six of the people, found us. They just came to the door, visited us one Sunday or at some point, and just said, hey, can we learn about you? And so while we took advantage of that, I mean, who wouldn't? it had nothing, well, it might have had, something in the back of their head, but as far as I know, it had nothing to do with us going out to people. And so what I want to do is to make sure that we are going out. I don't want to minimize all that went into studying and a lot of these conversions, but they came to us. But two of them found ads offering Bible studies. And we certainly thank God for that, that they found an ad in the library, and one of them just called us up one day. And so we're thankful for that. And she invited one of her friends, and we baptized both of them, and so we're thankful for that. My point is that we need to keep at it. getting the name of the church out there. Keep sowing that seed. You know, one day, one way we might do this is continuing our presence at Mayfest and perhaps at the Hilltop Fall Festival as well. We haven't had any direct conversions from that, I'll be honest about that, but we have been getting out and knowing the community better. So that's a benefit not only to us to get to know the community better, but also it gets our name out there. Our name is out there along with the scriptures, that we're handing out Bibles and books, and people are getting that at the very least. But I want you to think about ad campaigns for a second. You know, I don't want to say that the church is like a business, but there are some things in psychology that help businesses, you know, make money. And so we want to perhaps take advantage of some of those characteristics of human nature, so that we can get the name of the church out there, and that they will hear the gospel and want to obey. You know, you don't go buy a Coca-Cola. I'm not saying to have a Coca-Cola. No one's paying me from there. That'd be nice, but they're not. But you don't go buy a Coke just because you saw one ad, do you? You know, I mean, we're inundated with those ads all the time, so we might not really understand that, but we don't want to go buy a Coke just for one ad. The many ads that you see get you to think about it often, so that when you do see it in the store, maybe you're more likely to make an impulse buy. You're more likely to see that in a little cooler there at the register and be like, you know what, I can get a Coke right now. You're more likely to do, you know, I'm a Coca-Cola person, not a Pepsi person. You might think the same thing about Pepsi, I don't know. You know, one is a good opinion, the other is wrong. So, I'm just kidding. So, the reason is because it has name recognition. Anything about that with, you know, I don't want to get too political. You know, the funny thing is, visiting my family in South Carolina, they have their primary a lot sooner than we do, and so visiting over there, I got so many ads on my phone from it. So obnoxious. Anyway, but you know, it gets the name out there. Well, I don't want to name any names, but it gets the name of those candidates out there, so that you're more likely to, once you see their name on the ballot, you're more likely to vote for them. The more that our name is on billboards at festivals or on Food for the Backpack program and the Bears, the more likely someone will seek us out. Be like, hey, this is the Rutherford Church of Christ, here's their address, why don't we go and seek them out and find out more about them. And the more friendly and open they'll be when we seek them out. And because we can't just leave it there. We can't just say, oh, well, they're going to seek us out. We can't just leave it there. We have to go seek them out as well. What does Jesus say in Mark 16, verse 15? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, we accept the people who want to come to us, but we also need to go to them. You know, people, again, they won't buy a Coca-Cola unless they see it in the grocery store, right? In the little cooler there. And so they're less likely to come check us out unless we go out and say, hey, I'm with the Church of Christ. Would you like to have a Bible study? Would you like to go to worship with me one day? You know, something of that nature. It's not just them seeking us, it is us also seeking them. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every people. Other events that we've got on the horizon. If we can generate interest, I think we had a good time at the SOAR Youth Rally, and also and I think I'd like to see who we can get for that as well. We've got the possibility, I hope, of at least one more teenager going to those, and I hope we can get her to come. I think that the kids really enjoyed that, and they learned something too. But also with the influx of some of the younger kids that we've had lately, I broached the possibility of possibly having a VBS, a Vacation Bible School, this summer, with a one-day event. so that we might be able to help, you know, the kids here, but also invite some of the other little kids in the community as well to help with that, or to come and learn about Jesus or about the Bible in some way. You know, it's still a ways off in planning, but I want to put that bug in your ear so that you can think about helping should you decide to, or should we decide to actually have such an event. A couple of the ladies also, and the elders, have discussed the possibility of hosting a ladies' day. I know it's something that's been done here in the past. And if you're curious about that kind of thing, Victoria has been, you know, carrying out some ideas in her head, so ask her about that. All right. Now, third point. 5 minutes. I hope I can do this. So let's bring a little bit more Bible into this discussion. We brought up a couple verses, but you know, that's not a good gospel sermon. We need to have more. So let's look at some of these things. Christ, you know, he had a mission while he was here on this earth, didn't he? And we talked about that in our Mark class a little bit, about his mission, about some of his purpose statements that he gave in the gospel account. And how they should relate to us. Not everyone was in that class, so I reiterate that here this morning, because, you know, that's an important thing to consider, looking at these purpose statements, to consider what Jesus' mission was and how it relates to our mission. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, we see that Jesus said, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." His purpose was to preach. What was he preaching? A little earlier in the chapter, he was preaching the gospel. His purpose was to preach the gospel. And a little bit later in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It's connected with the idea of preaching, calling sinners to repentance. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I see two purposes that are there. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to serve other people. He didn't come to be served. He's a king. He's our Lord. But he didn't come to have people serve him and take care of him. He came to take care of others. So that should be our purpose as well. He also was trying to give his life a ransom for many. Now, that's not something that we can do. We can't give our life so that others might be saved, at least in the spiritual sense. So, that's something that only Jesus can do, but we can talk about it, can't we? Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. One of the reasons why we study the Old Testament, because he came to fulfill the law. We've seen in our Leviticus class how he's been fulfilling that law that we see in that Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Because the sword is the word of God, and the word of God tends to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. So that is the kind of sword that he has brought. Luke 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, all these are connected in some way or another. In John 6, 38. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He did not come to do just his own will, what he felt like he wanted, but he came to do the will of God. Should we be doing the will of God? Oh, yes. We should be doing the will of God, just as Jesus was doing his Father's will. John 10, verse 10, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." He came that we could have life in him, an abundant life at that. John 12:27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came, for this hour. So he came so that he could die for us. John 18:37. You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. His purpose was to be a king and to bear witness to the truth. To be a king, not to be served, but to serve. It's a revolutionary concept, even back then. You know, you might have heard about the three works of the church, benevolence, evangelism, edification. If you're curious about how to remember that, it's a B, a busy B, right? Benevolence, I'm sure that Hagemann would love that, Dan and Lynn would love that, being beekeepers themselves. But benevolence, edification, evangelism, we see that in different places. Galatians 2:10, they desire only that we should remember the poor. Edification, 1 Corinthians 14:26, let all things be done for edification. Evangelism, well, you know, we just talked about that. Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:19-20. One might argue that we should add worship to that, but I think that it is included in edification, along with exhortation and admonition. You know, some churches focus on one of these things, lacking in the others, to their detriment. And I mean churches in a loose sense, because denominations do focus on some of these things as well, at least their version of these things. But really, if we focus on evangelism, the other two will come naturally. Okay. The other two will come naturally. When someone is added to the church, are we not edified? Are we not built up because someone has been added to his body? We're reminded of what we must do and comforted that the church is here and it is growing and that it will go on. Of course, once they are here, we do need to focus on their own edification, building them up where they need to be. When we do work in the form of benevolence, we should always be looking at it with a view towards evangelism. You know, we put our name and our contact information on those bears, on the food that we send out, and so that people will know that we are here, know what we're about, and how to get in touch with us. There's a saying, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so if they will see that we care about them, then they might be more likely to listen. Again, it's not just them seeking us out, but it's also us seeking them out, recognizing our name. Hello, I'm with the Church of Christ. They'll be like, oh, yeah, you're the guy that just sent out, you know, this kind of thing. And so they'll recognize our name and be more likely to listen to us. You know, all that Jesus did fits into these three categories. He worked with benevolence by, he didn't have any money, but as we talked about in our class this morning, he didn't have any money, but he worked with benevolence by healing people and by feeding them. Through miraculous means. You know, he cared about people, don't you think? He cared about. Why else would he come to die for them? But you know, he didn't heal everybody because that was not his ultimate purpose. His purpose was not to heal, but to preach, to save souls. His purpose, again, was to save mankind and do so by preaching and ultimately by dying for us. His miracles opened the door for him to be heard, and his message confirmed by these signs, as we see in places like Acts 2:22. Our benevolence work opens to help us reach people, but it can't stop at benevolence. You see, benevolence opens that door, and evangelism brings them in, and edification keeps them here. Benevolence opens the door, evangelism brings them in, and edification keeps them here. So, in this new year, by way of conclusion, in this new year, let us have the mission of Christ. You know, we aren't going to perform miracles for people, but we can serve them. We aren't going to live a perfect life, but we can teach them about the one who did. We didn't die, and we can't die, for the sins of others, to save them, but we can seek the lost and point them in the direction of our Savior. That's what we can do. Having this mission is and will be our goal this year and every year, Lord willing. Whatever this year holds, whatever comes our way, that will be our primary mission. We have a lot on the horizon that we've talked about today. I hope I didn't forget anything, but I might have, and I apologize if I have. But let us make sure that we stick to God's word in whatever we do. Stick to what He says in Scriptures, and whatever we do, whatever endeavors that we are seeking, let us focus on God's word in all things, and He will bless us. So, let us work hard to make that happen. But first, before that holds much significance to you, why don't you join us on that journey? You know, there are certain things that we've got to do to become a Christian, to be added to His church. The Scriptures are very, very clear about some of the things that we need to do. And if you'd like to have a Bible study with us on that, we'd love to do that with you. There are things that the Bible says, we've got to believe in His Word, repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ, be baptized for the remission of our sins, so that sins can be washed away in the blood of Christ. If you need to do that this morning, if you need to be added to His church today, please, when you start singing, come forward. If you are a Christian and you've done these things, but you've been straying from the truth and need to make things right with God,